Today's shir is Masechta Yevamos Daf Kuf Aleph. We will begin on Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph at the top of the Amud Hayishneim Kahanim. We had learned in the Mishnah that if there were two children born to a woman, there was two children born, and there's a confusion who is the father of each one of these children. The halacha is that if they're both Kahanim, Or as we continued learning in the Mishnah, there are different situations where the halacha depends if they're both kahanim, so there's certainly a kayin, etc., etc. And one of the halachas that we learned in the Mishnah was that if they hit or cursed one, if they would one of these parents, there would never be chayiv misa, even though it's a very serious aveira, because we cannot know for sure who is the father. So says the Braisa, Tana Rabbanan, Hikazev v'chazve hikazev, if this son, who we don't know who his father is, first hit one of the men, and then hit one of the other men, or kilozev v'chazve kilozev, and so he did maybe with cursing chas v'shalom, or kiloshneim b'bas achas, or he cursed him at the same time, hikashneim b'bas achas, or he hurt or he hit them at the same time. In all of these situations, says the Gemara, he would be chayiv. Because as we keep on repeating, certainly one of these men is his father. So he's done the Aveira. And the way Tosfos explains the Gemara, the way to understand this Braisa is that the Braisa is saying, loizu afsu. Certainly, if the Braisa holds that if he didn't hit them at the same time, he's chayiv. So certainly, if he hit them at the same, if he hit them one after the other, chayiv. Certainly, if he hit them at the same time, you would be chayiv. Rabbi Huda, however, says bebas achas, if it was done at the same time, chayiv, because since he hit both of them at the same time, there was one asra and one act of hakar. So certainly, he would be chayiv. However, b'zachazeh, since these are two separate acts of hitting, rachman slan, or cursing, each one coming with its own asra, each one coming with its own separate act, you can't be chayiv because you can't be chayiv in each individual act, for we cannot know who is truly his father. And the way Rashi explains, that these are two separate acts, and since they're two separate acts, each one had its own asra. And as we discussed in our previous year, since each one had its own separate asra, each asra is asra sofik, and the halacha is that asra sofik lo yishma hasra. In Rashi, Masechta Chulim says that what would be the halacha if he hit both of them with two hands at the exact same moment? That might not be considered a case of asra sofik because it was one act and one hasra. Ask the Gemara, V'tanya b'yudai m'potter b'bas achas, that even if he did it at the same time, he would be chayiv, because it's still asra sofik, because when, and the Gemara is going to explain why, says the Gemara, trey t'nai alibid Rabbi Yehuda, is machlok t'nai what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Says the Gemara, but we need to understand, my time of the man t'potter, what's the basis for the opinion that holds that if you did them both at the same time simultaneously, why would that be considered asra sofik? It's not asra sofik. Both of them, there was all one act and all one asra. Answers the Gemara Amar Chanina. Nema bracha lamata. The Torah says that one may not curse his parents. Nema bracha lamala. A person is not allowed to rachmal tzlan curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says, ish ish ki kala alakov v'nasa chatoi. Mala mala. So the Torah is connecting these two averis. Now certainly, when we speak about rachman tzlan, somebody cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're referring to a situation of ein bo shutfus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no partners. There's only one God. Aflamata, when we speak about a parent, ein bo shutfus. It's only when you did one parent. And if it's not definitive who is the parent, then you can't be chayiv for hitting or cursing a parent. Viskish says the Gemara, but that's a pasuk regarding klala. It's not possible, obviously, to hit HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but says the Gemara, V'eskesh HaKol HaKlola. So says the Karan Ayra, that our Gemara is only referring to a situation where we don't know that who his father is. But let's say somebody hit his father and at the same time hit someone else who's obviously not his father. That would not, there Rabbi Yehuda would agree that he would be chayiv. It's only in this case, says the Karan Ayra, where we don't know who the father is. And since there's that lack of clarity, we can't compare it to the case of somebody, Rachman Slan, hitting Hashem. But where we have the clarity of knowing who the father is, even though simultaneous to hitting the father, he also hit someone else, that would not be considered a problem, and he would certainly be chayif for hitting or cursing a parent and that under those circumstances. We learned that, again, this individual doesn't know. He knows he's a Kayin because both of the men were a Kayin, but he doesn't know which Mishnah he belongs to. Says the Mishnah that he could do avoida with each one of the Mishmeres that his possible father is from, but he doesn't get a shear in the carbon, he doesn't get a shear in the leather, because he cannot say definitively that I deserve a shear. Ask the Ravachim Achadahein Echaylik, if he doesn't get a shear, Lama Ayla, says, why would he go? Since asking my Lama Oila, what kind of question is that? Hummer, being the Neved Mitzvah, that he wants to do a mitzvah, and he wants to do the Avoida, even if he won't get any meat or get any leather, says the Gemara, Allah Loitani, says the Gemara, it doesn't say Allah, that means that he could go if he wants, Ella Oila, what it means to say, that he we force him to go, says the Gemara, where we force him to go Baal Karcha. And the Gemara's question now is, why would we force him to go? We could understand if he wants to go, and he's not asking for anything, we'll let him go. But why should we force him to go? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Acha Bachanina, Amar Abai, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yoichem, Shem Begamish Bacha. If he won't ever go to do any avoida, people are going to say that there's something wrong with this family. There's something wrong with this family because they have this family member who's not allowed to do any of the avoida. And that is an embarrassment to the entire family. In order to avoid that embarrassment to the entire family, not only may he do the avoida, but actually the family could force him to go do the avoida. Says the Mishnah further, but if Mahayushneva Mishmar, if the two men who were not certain who are his father were both from the same Mishmar of Kahuna, so then he could get a share because he deserves, he's a member of this Mishmar anyway. Ask my Mashnah Shnei Mishmar Leloi, why, if he's from the two men who were not certain which one is his father, is he not entitled to that? Dazala Mishmar Matchalei. Because if he goes to this Mishmer, they'll say, you don't belong there. Azloham Mishmer Matchalei. And when he goes to other Mishmer, they keep on telling him, you don't belong here. Mishmer Echanami, but even the Mishmeris, as we know, we learned, are divided into six Bati Av. And every Bati Av works on a different day. So just like if he goes to a Mishmer that one of the men it belonged to, the people could say, well, you're not from our Mishmer, you're from the other Mishmer. Why isn't the same here? Why in Mishmer Echad Nami, Ozalei Lahai Beis Av, he'll go to this Beis Av, and they'll tell him, Matchala, you belong in a different Beis Av from the other man who may be your father. And Rapapa says, Rapapa, the case of our Mishnah Achikamer, if both of them from the same Mishmer, and not only are both of the men who were not certain which one is his father from the same Mishmer, but they're also from base Ev Achad, they're also from the same base Av, so there's no way they can be pushed away, Neutel, then he deserves to get Chelek Echad. Hanu Loch Noisen Al Nusa. We've mentioned in our Masechta numerous times the mitzvah of chalitza, and that if the yavam does not want to marry the yavama, what has to be done is chalitza. And our Mishnah and Perek will begin to discuss the mitzvah of chalitza and actually how is it performed. There's a machlokes exactly what does the chalitza accomplish. Some say that the chalitza is the way that a woman is allowed to get married to anyone else. So in other words, according to those mefarshim, chalitza is a form of a get. But it's not a mitzvah. It's just if this yavama wants to get married, she has to have a chalitza, just like a woman who's married wants to be divorced, has to have a get. Others explain that, and according to that, it's not a mitzvah. Others explain that chalitza is actually a mitzvah. And of course, the big nafkamina in this discussion will be if a woman has absolutely no intention to get remarried, does she still need to have chalitza? Many paiskim, the Shas HaTshuvos, Oinig Yontif, and the Chacham Tzvi, all say that chalitza is a mitzvah asay. Even if a woman has absolutely no intention of getting remarried, there still is a mitzvah asay to have a chalitza done. And the Chinuch in Mitzvah Tuf Kuf Tzadik Tes says, if a woman did not have a chalitza, the Halreiz a bittel mitzvah asay. You violate a mitzvah asay. The Ein Yitzchok, Chelik Beis Simen Samach Beis from Rabbi Yitzchok Elchanan, says that it's not a mitzvah. And one of the reasons, one of the proofs that he brings is that we're going to be learning a mitzvah Shem, that a melech, that if a king passes away without children, the aloch is that Ein Cholzim Lishtoi. And the reason why Ein Cholzim Lishtoi, one is because she anyway may never get remarried. And another reason is because it's embarrassing that the queen, the almona of the king, should do the procedure of chalitza, which as we're going to be learning in our coming shiurim, is somewhat embarrassing. So according to the reason, that the first reason that the Kesem Mishnah actually says, that the melech's almona doesn't do chalitza, because she may not get remarried anyway, it's clearly a proof that the whole purpose of chalitza is to allow the woman to get remarried. And if this woman, as we're learning now, can't get remarried, there's no point in doing the chalitza. Clearly, this is an indication that the entire purpose of chalitza is to get remarried, and it's not considered a mitzvah. But most achronim disagree with Ein Yitzchak. As I said, the Oinig Yontif, the Chacham Tzvi, the Ratvaz, the Birke Yosef, the Marsham, all of them say that it's a mitzvah asay to do chalitza. And in fact, the Marsham, in the Shas HaTshuvos Marsham, Chelek Aleph Simen Yudalid, says that the mitzvah is a mitzvah that's primarily on the woman. The wife of this person who passed away has an obligation to do for the neshama of her husband that she should have chalitza. Furthermore, we know that whenever a mitzvah is done, a bracha is made. However, the Rishonim already point out that for the mitzvah of chalitza, particularly according to the opinions that we just cited, who hold that chalitza is a mitzvah, we don't find that a bracha is recited for chalitza. And the question is why. So the Rashba already says that since the main purpose of the chalitza is to allow the woman to get remarried and to be able to have children, but as we've learned in our Masechta, women are not obligated in the mitzvah puravu. Since women are not obligated in the mitzvah puravu, that's why and that's the main point of the mitzvah chalitza, there is no point of making a bracha. Another explanation that I saw is that as we've learned in our Masechta, the preferable mitzvah between yibam and chalitza is certainly yibam. Chalitza is not what is preferable. And since chalitza is not the preferable mitzvah, we don't make a bracha when you didn't do a mitzvah that was the l'chatchila, the approach that should have been done. Others explain that whenever a mitzvah is conducted that depends on another individual, it's not totally in my own control, we don't make a bracha. And here, the chalitza, of course, is not only up to the woman to do the chalitza, but it also requires the yavam, the brother-in-law, to participate. That's why we don't make a bracha. However, it's very interesting that the Shulchan Aruch in Evan Ezer, in the Say the Chalitza, says, after the Chalitza is done, the Rav, who oversaw the Chalitza, should make a bracha. And the bracha he makes is Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kedishonu B'mitzvaysav, V'tzivanu B'mitzvays, V'chukim Shel Avram Avinu. And this is a very interesting bracha. Number one, it's the Rav who's making the bracha. And number two, it's Avram. Why is Avram Avinu mentioned? So many explain, because we remember that the Medrash says that Avram Avinu said to the Melech Sadoim, I will not take anything from you, not even a string, a shoelace. So because Avram Avinu made that statement, his children were zoicha to have the mitzvah of chalitza, and that's why we make the habra. That's why Avram Avinu is made in when this is recited. The Shulchan Aruch, however, says that even though in the different minhagim, if the brachas are made, he said that the halacha is that the bracha should be made without shame or malchus. The Taz says that the minig is not to make the bracha. So as we just said, the mitzvah chalitza, the Medrash says, comes from from the dialogue of Avram Avinu and the Melech Sadoim. The Hilchos Gedolos has a different approach. What is the explanation for the mitzvahs chalitza? He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Yavam, you did not want to take and do Yibum with your sister-in-law, so you deserve to be like an oval, and just like an oval goes without a shoe. And moreover, you could have had relations with your sister-in-law. And lahokim shame lachiv, by having relations with your sister-in-law, you perhaps could have made that she would become pregnant, and that child would be a continuation of your brother who left the world without children. The saliva that is expelled during the act of chalitza is very similar to the shichva zera, and that's why we should make, that's the pshat, says the Hilchos Gedolos, behind this act of chalitza. Another pshat that the chinuch suggests, that the wife helps her husband, and she's saying to him, till now I would have taken care of your needs, I would have helped you with your shoes, you're throwing it all away. Another pshat, which I saw Agos Martche say, that very similar to what we said before, now your brother's going to be left without children, and even if we already experienced avelus over his death, it all begins all over again. Rabbeinu Bechaya says that what happens by chalitza is, as we've learned so many times in our Masechta, when the brother dies without children, there's a zika that connects the yavam and the yavama. Through this act of chalitza, that band that was created with the zika is now completely severed. And that's why we untie the shoe to show that we're severing that relationship. So says the Mishnah, mitzvah chalitza, the mitzvah chalitza has to be done b'shloish dayanim, with three dayanim presiding over the chalitza, afilu shloisha hajaitis. Because as the Gemara will explain, that we want to publicize the chalitza, and the way it's publicized is by having at least three tayonim. Chalitza b'minol, says the Mishnah, there are different types of shoe, and we know that the main part of the chalitza is done with the woman, the yavama, removing the shoe from the brother-in-law's foot. Chalitza b'minol, chalitza Shera. If one used a minnow, and the difference between a minnow is that a minnow is made out of orach, it's made out of soft leather, and it covers the foot, and it's made out of a number of pieces of leather patched together. That's not, as we're going to learn, the lechatchila fashion how to do chalitza, but teaches the Mishnah, if somebody did chalitza that way, chalitza suk shera. However, Bampalia, ban peliya. If the chalitza was done with a shoe made out of material, not made out of leather, their halach is the chalitza is psula. Besandel sheyesh lo ekev. If there's something in the back of the shoe that protects the shoe from the protects the foot from going out of the shoe, that's one pshat. Another pshat is that it has a sole. Another pshat is that it has a heel. And all these cases, besandel sheyesh lo ekev kshera, v'shein lo ekev. But if the shoe doesn't have this ekev as the different pshatim that we said, posel, it would not be a kosher chalitza. Menakuva lamata, if somebody, the yavam, Rachman Slan, is messing part of his leg, as long as he has a leg below the knee and the chalitza was done, the chalitza is kshera. But if he has nothing below the knee, Rachman Slan, menakuva lamala, the chalitza is psula. Cholza besandel, if the sandal that they're using does not belong to the yavam, as we're going to learn, the proper thing to do is that the bezdin, who has a chalitza shoe, obviously a chalitza shoe is not something that everyone has, it's something that a bezdin is supposed to have. So the bezdin has the chalitza shoe. So what the bezdin is supposed to do is, before the chalitza is done, they're supposed to be makna, they're supposed to transfer ownership of that shoe to the yavam. But if that wasn't done, or it was done with sandal shalates, with a wood shoe, with sandal small, b'yamin, or left shoe was used on the right foot, in all these cases, chalitza kshera, the halacha is, the chalitza is still a kosher chalitza. Chalitza, begol shiyochel alachboy, if you use a shoe that's too big, but he still could walk with it, oy, b'katan, or a shoe that was used that's too small, b'choifes ragloi, but it still covers most of the foot, and all these cases, then the chalitza is kshera. Ask the Gemara, we said in the Mishnah, mitzvah chalitza b'shloish dayonim. Ask the Gemara, ma'achad afil shloish hajaitis, if the halach is that even three hajaitis could do the chalitza, the yon lamali, so why did our Mishnah have to say that you have dayonim? Dayonim indicates that they have to be experts. Answers the Gemara, hakamashmalam, what the Mishnah wants to teach us is, be'inon shloish shayodim l'hakris. The halach is that when the chalitza is conducted, the bezdin reads the psukim of the Torah that are mentioned in the parash of chalitza, and they repeat word after word. The yavam divama repeat word after word. And if the people who are conducting the chalitza, have to be expert enough to do so. Like the yonim, they have to be expert enough to do so. Tanina, says the Gemara, our Mishnah actually supports. Tanina lohad tana rabbanan, mitzvahs chalitza b'shloish shiyodim lahakros kein dayonim. You should have three individuals who could read the words of the parsha to the people participating in the chalitza. Rabbi Yehuda says you should have chamisha. You should have five people participating. And this is a very interesting halacha, that the chalitza should be done in a way that the one who's conducting the chalitza should read pasuk by pasuk to the people who are participating in the chalitza. And we find this in a number of places in halacha, that this is the proper way of doing the mitzvah. By Birkas Kahanim, the Torah says, emolahem, that somebody, as we know, when we do Birkas Kahanim, should say pasuk by word by word. The halacha is, by Tekiah Shofar, we know that before to the Baal Tekiah, there's somebody who tells him Tekiah Shvarim. By Bikurim, the halach, the pasuk says, Vanisa Vamarta, there's a pasha of the Pashas Bikurim, and the proper way of fulfilling it, as is taught in Masechta Bikurim, is that somebody should say word for word with them the psukim. And now we learned chalitza. Interesting shaila that I saw. What would be the halacha if there's no one who could read pasuk by pasuk, word by word, these psukim? Could you fulfill it by hearing them from a tape recorder, from a video, hearing every word? So you're hearing the words. It was nikra. So certainly by Birkas Kahanim, it wouldn't work. because the Torah says specifically that the way Birkas Kohanim is done is with Emor Lahem, where one person says each word to the Kohen, and therefore having it any other way is not going to be acceptable. By Tekiah Shofar, it seems that maybe we can be more lenient, because the whole purpose of the Baal Makri by Tekiah Shofar, says the Chashukei Chemed, is to make sure that the Baal Tekiah should not get confused. So as long as there's a procedure in place to avoid the Baal Tekiah from getting confused, we've done what we need to do. By Chalitza and by Bikurim, again, since the Torah specifically says by Bikurim, as we said, Vanisa Vamarta, we're learning now by Chalitza, it has to be done in a fashion of being Makri. So if it's not done in that fashion, then the halacha is that probably it would not be considered a valid Chalitza. It has to be done in the proper way. Well, now we're learning, before we get further into the Gemara, that we have to have a Bezdin for the Chalitza. Question is, as we're going to see, a question, how many people? Why is there such important reason? So one pshat that the Ritva says, that since a Chalitza is a Davar Sheberva, a woman can't get married without the Chalitza, and as we often learned in this Masechta, whenever there's something done with a Davar Sheberva, we want to make sure that it's done properly. The repercussions of it not being done properly are very serious, and therefore, the halacha is you should have a bezdin. Other Rishonim explain that the woman is entitled to her ksuba after the chalitza is done. And since that's the purpose, so we want to have the chalitza should be done in a way that everybody knows that the chalitza was done, and now she's doing it, it was done properly. Another explanation is because the pasuk says zakenim, and zakenim means that you have to have a bezdin. So here we learned that you have to have shiyodim hakrois ke'ein dayonim. The halacha is, Taisu says, that doesn't mean that they have to be proficient in all the halachas of chalitza. What the Gemara is saying is they have to be proficient in lahakrois, to read the words of the pasuk with these parties who are part of the chalitza. The Ritva and the Muki Yosef disagree. They say that when the Gemara says lahakrois, it doesn't mean that it's adequate that they just know how to read the words of the pasuk. Well, lahakrois means, they say, means that just like they know how to read the words of the pasuk, they know all of the halachas, they know all of the elements of the halachas of the chalitza, because the Torah, the answer of Amra, is just one of the halachas, but all of the halachas of chalitza, they must know. So we learned the machlokes, how many do you need to have? Dayanim. The Tanna Kamma said 3, and Rabbi Yehuda said 5. Says the Gemara, my time the Tanna Kamma, that you need 3 dayanim, because the pasuk says in chalitza, v'olsi yivim ta'ashara el ha-zakenim, so you have to have zakenim, means a minimum of 2. But we know ein bezdin shekel. We never have a bezdin that has an even amount of people. So mesifron leim ed achad, we have to add another individual. Harei kan shloisha, so we'll have a total of 3 dayonim. Rav Yehuda says ziknei. If all we wanted to teach that we need zakenim, it would be enough to say the word ziknei. By the Torah adding the word zakenim, we need another 2. And then the halacha is ein bezdin shekel. We don't want to have, so that's a total of 4. We don't want to have an even number. Mesifron leim ed achad. Harei kan chamisha. The Tanna Kamma asked the Gemara, the Tanna Kamma, what does he do with ziknei zakenim? Says the Gemara, hi ziknei, avalei mebayi l'rebui dafilu shloisha hajaitis. He says, you don't have to have such great experts. Rav Yehuda hajaitis menole, says the Gemara, where does he know that they're adequate? He says, because the pasuk says enei. Asked the Gemara, how do we know from the word enei that it means that anybody is qualified? Damamar, the pasuk says, "Ene prat lesumim." A person who's blind, Rechman Slan, can't see, and therefore he's not qualified to preside over chalitza. Umedet isrich lemutei sumim, shmamina dafila adjaitis. this is a proof that Hadraitas can preside over a chalitza. For says the Gemara, Isakadatach Sanhedrin binin, if we're going to say we need Sanhedrin, we need to have Dayonim, who are qualified to sit on the Sanhedrin. Lamalil muti sumin, why would we need a special pasuk to exclude sumin? Have we learned mid the Tanur of Yosi Nafka, the Tanur of Yosi, Kshem Shebezdin Nukim Betzedek, just like a Bezdin, the members of a Bezdin have to be upright, honest individuals. Kach Bezdin, so too the members of the Bezdin have to be Menukim Mikol Mum. They can't have any blemish. And it's based on a pasuk. The pasuk says in Shir Ashirim, Kulach Yofa Rayase or Mum Einbach. So if the halacha were that the members who are doing the chalitza have to be individuals who could be on a Sanhedrin, we obviously would know that the sumim are excluded. A blind person can never be qualified to sit on a bezdin. It must be that when we say here that a blind person, because it's telling us we don't have to have individuals who could sit on a Sanhedrin, and therefore still sumen are excluded. Vidach, the Tana Kama that says that hajoitis, that they don't have to be qualified to sit on a bezdin. Hahula inime avadlei, says the Mahula Kharava Hudasa. Dama Rav Tsricha Dayana Lamechse, right? That the Yonim have to see the saliva as the Kanafik Mipuma Divama, as the Yavama expels the saliva, it has to go out from her mouth, and l'chatchila d'alochi is, they have to see her expelling the saliva, and they have to see it till it hits, till it goes in front of the Yavam, in front of the brother. And it's not enough that they see the saliva on the floor. It's not enough that they see the saliva leave her mouth. They have to see the entire saliva going from her mouth to where he's standing. And moreover, all of the dayonim have to see it. The kanafik mipam divam diksiv, it has to all be done. La'ene zekeine v'chotzunal ma'aragla v'yorka b'fonav. V'idach says, Rabbi Yehuda, who used ene to say that sumim are disqualified, Mibayle Likharava, doesn't he need it to teach us what we just learned, how the procedure should be done, says the Marana Khanami. So if that's the case, El Hajoitis, that Hajoitis can preside over Chalitza, asking Ramanale, from where will he know that halacha, says the Gemara, because the Pasuk says, Nafka, he learns that the Pasuk says, V'os Yivimta Ashara, Zakein of Amram, Ein Yivam, Lachav, Lachav, Shem be Yisrael, Yisrael Kaldahu. Any Yisrael is qualified. Ask the Gemara, the Tana Kama, who learned that Hajaitis, Akasha, from the word Zikne, where will he learn? Hay Yisrael, my Avalei, what will he do with this word Yisrael? The Yehuda learned that say that any Jew is qualified. Says the Gemara, Mabai Lechad, Trani Rav Shimon by Yehuda, Yisrael, Bebezdin Shay Yisrael, it has to be done with a Bezdin of Yisrael. The Dayanim have to be people whose parents are members of Klal Yisrael, v'leiv bezin shel geirim, we may not have dayanim whose parents are not geirim. And the way most poskim explain, when we're disqualifying geirim, it not only means the ger may not be a dayan on a chalitza, but even an individual whose parents are members of the bezdin, whose parents are geirim, may not be members of the bezdin as well. We're going to learn that later on our shir, that Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda was the son of a ger, and therefore he declined to serve on the bezdin of a chalitza. And we're also going to be discussing that the bezdin who does the chalitza is a very interesting type of bezdin. It's a bezdin that has three dayonim, as is typically the case. But besides that they have three dayonim, there are two more dayonim that sit on the side. And there's a discussion already amongst the Rishonim and the Achronim when in our Gemara we're disqualifying a ger. Is the ger disqualified from being one of the three primary dayonim, but one of the two auxiliary dayonim a ger may be? Or is a ger even disqualified from that? So The Gra held that just the ger may not be a member of the primary, three primary dayanim, but he may be a member of the two auxiliary dayanim. The Trumas Adeshin says that no. And the reason is because there's a fundamental machloikis. Why do we need to have these two extra dayanim? One reason is because to give it more publicity. If it's there to give it more publicity, so then the publicity can be done with these two extra dayanim, even though they're not their gerim. But if the problem is that we want to have backup dayanim, if that's the reason that we have to have the two extra dayanim, so if we're learning now that the ger, the Gemara just said, may not be one of the primary dayanim, he can't be one of the backup dayanim either, because that would disqualify him, because we may need him, and if he's a ger, he's disqualified. Vidach, the Rabbi Yehuda, who used the word Yisrael to say the Hedyotis to be dayanim, where will he notice halacha about gerim? Says the Gemara, Yisrael achrinik'siv. The pasuk says the word Yisrael twice. So one is to teach us the halacha that hajyotis are kosher, and the other is to teach us that gerim are disqualified, because the pasuk says again, v'nikra shmo Yisrael beis chalotzanal. Vidach, what will the Rabbanan do with the extra time that the Torah uses the word Yisrael? Says the Gemara, Bavli Chretanya, Amar Bihuda Pamach, Sayini Yeshu, Lefnei Reb Tarfin. We were once sitting by Reb Tarfin, or by Yivam Alachlitz, and there was a Yivam that came for a Chalitza procedure. Vamalan Anu Kulchem Chalitza now. Everybody should say Beis Chalitza now, not just the Dayanim, but everybody who's standing there. Vidach, Rabbi Yehuda, who needs the words Yisrael both times that it's mentioned, where will he know that everybody who attends the chalitza is supposed to make this declaration? Beis chanutza now, he learns it from the words v'nikra shmoi nafka. El ma'arta, says the Gemara, that we're learning the word ziknei. When the Torah says v'karalei ziknei ira v'dibra alav, and we're saying that that's what we're learning from it. We're not saying that the pasuk is talking, that the ziknei is referring back to the people who were referred to at the beginning of the pasuk. Karu, so ask the Gemara, so we should need to have many more people, because it says karu shnayim, and it says dibru shnayim. Hachanami, Rabbi Yehuda, says the Gemara, if we're going to use that pasuk, we should say all the times the Torah speaks about people participating in the act of chalitza, we say should be included. Says the Gemara, indeed, according to Yehuda, Harei Kantisha, you would have to have altogether 9 people. Well, Rabbanan, because we just added 4 more people from the word Vakaru and from the word Dibru, you would have to have Shiva people. But we know that's not true, because we learned that there's a machlokes 3 or 5, but nobody suggested that we need to have 7 or 9. Answers the Gemara, Ha'um Ba'ilei Chiritanya. We need that for different lemudim. For karoloi, to teach us that the bezdin v'loy shlucham, for dibrolov, that the bezdin itself has to be the one to call the people to participate in the chalitza, and for dibrolov is coming to teach us a different halacha. That is melamdim mesin loy etzah hagenes loy. We give him the proper advice. Shemahayu hu yelled, he's a kena. If the brother-in-law is a young man and the almana is an older woman, or vice versa, who's zaken? He's an older man, he yelled, and she's a younger person. I'm like, malacha etzah yalda. They tell an old man, how are you going to marry a young woman? Malacha etzah zakena. They tell a young man, what are you going to marry an old woman? Kalech etzel shikamaischa, you should marry a woman who's similar to you. Vatachnis tatl debesecha, because don't bring, when there's a lack of compatibility, the marriage can't be well. So of course, the Karen Ira asks, we've learned so many times in Amasechta, we mentioned it earlier in our shir, that Yibum is the preferable mitzvah over Chalitza. So if Yibum is the preferable mitzvah over chalitza, as the Karen Ira, how can we recommend that shouldn't be done? Says the Karen Ira, a beautiful pshat. He says, one of the concepts that we've learned so many times
in our Masechta about Chalitza that we apply is the concept of the Rochea D'Achinoyam, that Chalitza should be done in a pleasant way. That's a critical element in Hilchas Chalitza. Included in the concept of the Rochea D'Achinoyam is that even though Yibum is preferable over Chalitza, it's not preferable over Chalitza in a situation where the marriage, as we just discussed, may not be a this couple may not be compatible. Amar Rav Nachman, halacha, the halacha is chalitza b'shloisha, like the Tanakhama suggested, that the chalitza has to be done by three dayanim. Chol v'stam lan Tanakh v'asei, we have a stam mishnah, and we always follow, we know throughout Shas, that the halacha is like stam mishnah, because when Rebbe saw many different opinions, and he decided to mention a halacha anonymously, it's clearly an indication that that's the halacha. Amalei Rav Elav Nachman, Iyachem Miyun Nami, the halacha is, by means should also be that you should have to have three dayonim. The Tanah and the Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin teaches us, Hamiyun V'chalitza B'shloisha. And we have a Stam Mishnah that says the mean should be done in front of three dayonim. V'chi Teima, says the Marhachi Nami, that indeed you'll say that you have to have three dayonim for the chalitza. Ask the Gemara V'Tanya, didn't the Bryson teach us? B'shamay Oimrim. Not bebez the mumchem, the miyun should only be done in front of a bezdin of experts. And the reason it has to be done in front of an bezdin of experts is because, as we've discussed many times, there are many rules involved in miyun. And there may be a situation where a girl is not a candidate for miyun and she'll do miyun. And if she's not a candidate for miyun and she does miyun, it's nothing. She's an eishes ish. So that's why Beis Shammai says we have to have mumchem. We're not concerned about the mistake. But everybody agrees. Eilav eilav moedim shetzorech shloisha. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosef, machshirim b'shnayim, that two are adequate. V'amar Rabbi Yosef ben Menuni, so if we always follow a Stam Mishnah, and the Stam Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin says that you have to have three Dayanim, how could we say that the halacha is that two are enough? And in fact, I saw that Tosfos explains the Masechta Sanhedrin, really one is enough. The reason why we look for two is because when we have two, we'll have Edus that could testify they saw there was a Mian. Answers the Gemara, Hosam chatzdama. By miyun, there's only one stam mishnah that says you have to have three. Whereas by chalitza, there are trei stami that say you have to have three. Ask the Gemara. Hosam by miyun nami trei stami ninu. There are also two stam mishnayos that indicate that you need to have three. The Tanan, the Mishnah says miyano oishacholtza befonof. If miyun or chalitza were done in front of a talmud chacham, yisoena. He is allowed to be the one to marry her. And we're not concerned that he did something just because he's anxious to marry her, because Neshu Bezdin. Since it was done in front of a Bezdin, there's no reason to be concerned that he did it, that he didn't do it properly, and he just did it to be able to get to marry this woman. Says the Gemara, fine. There is another stam that says you need a Bezdin. El Hossam, for me, and we have only trei stami. Hacha, when we speak about chalitza, we have tlosostami that indicate you need to have three. Ask the Gemara. This whole approach is difficult to the Gemara. Mechti, hostama v'chotstama. As we explained a moment ago, the reason we pass in like a stam mishnah is because the power of a stam mishnah. So what's the difference, ask the Gemara? Mali chotstama, mali treistam, mali tlosa. What's the difference? As long as there's a stam mishnah, that's an indication that that's the halacha. El Amar of Nachman Yitzchak, Hoyl, the Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin, it's an end of Stam, but Makom Achloikus, that Mishnah is not unanimous. The Mishnah, we find Rabbi Yehuda has a Machloikus in that Mishnah. The Tanaim, because that Mishnah says, Smichas Akenim, when Bezdin issues an incorrect psak, that Klai Yisrael acted based on an incorrect psak, you have to bring a parhelm davish at Saber. Vegla Rufa, or the Egla Rufa, where the corpse is found, it has to be done with Shloisha Divir, Rabbi Yossi. Yudam b'chamisha, Chalitza v'amunim b'shloisha, v'loi k'mbalag Rabbi Yehuda, and we don't find that Rabbi Yehuda, who our Mishnah and our Gemara kept on saying you need to have five dayanim, Shmamina, Hadbei Rav Yehuda, that everybody agrees that for chalitza, three are adequate, shema mina. So now the Gemara is not basing it on a stam mishnah. Rather, the Gemara is saying, there is no machloikis. Everybody agrees that you have to, that three dayanim are adequate for a chalitza. Amar Rava, continues the Gemara, Rava teaches us, tzricha dayanim l'mikvaya duchta. They have to say that we're going to do the chalitza at this specific spot. The ksiv, because the Torah says, for also yivimta ashar al zakedim. They have to identify where the chalitza has to be done. But most Rishonim are of the opinion that even though the halacha is that we have to identify where the chalitza is taking place, if it wasn't done that way, the halacha is that it's fine. There's also a question, how many of the dayanim have to attend the Kviyas Makam? But our meaning is that all the dayanim attend the Kviyas Makam. Says the Gemara, Papa Rav Huna Reidev Shua, of the Uvda, they had a chalitza b'chamisha with five dayanim. Kaman, Krab Yehuda. As Rabbi Yehuda said in our shir, that you have to have five dayanim. Ask the Gemara for Hodabay, but haven't we learned that Rabbi Yehuda retracted and agreed that three are fine? Says the Gemara, new concept. You're right, three dayanim are adequate, but we want to have a chalitza that's lefursa milsa. Everybody should know that she's a chalutza, and the Paiskim give many reasons why. Some explain that everybody should know that she's a chalutza and she may not marry a kohen. Others explain that everybody should know that from now on, till now she was a shemeres yavam, and as we learned in our masechta, a shemeres yavam she may not get married to anyone, and now we're going to publicize that she is no longer shemeres yavam, that and she could get married to anyone. There are those that have a minig that there should be at least 10 people, the five dayanim and five other individuals attending a chalitza. Ravashi ikla beirav kan amalei sloik mal gabon, come here. We need you to fill. We need five dayanim for the chalitza. Amar Rav Kana, have a kaim nekamed Rabbi Yehuda. I was once standing in front of Rabbi Yehuda. V'amali tos sak lezirza dekanim. He said, bring a bundle of wood to attend where we're going to establish that the chalitza will take place, and that you will be let's terufe bei chamisha. You will be one of the five dayanim. Amali. So he asked the question, why do we need to have five dayanim? We just paskin that everybody agrees that five, the three dayanim are enough. Amalu, so he said, keichad l'farsa milsum. As we just learned, there are many reasons why to publicize that there was a chalitza, and therefore, even though according to the halacha, three is enough, we should have five to publicize, and also that we should have a kviyas makam, we should establish before the actual chalitza takes place, the minig is the day before, that this is where the chalitza of this couple will be taking place.